Welcome to The Business Mind. Join me, Mark Fechner, as I sit down with business leaders to discuss their real-world challenges and formulate forward-thinking, creative solutions. We focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. The Business Mind Show starts now. Good morning, everyone. I am Mark Fechner, and welcome to The Business Mind here on Transformation Talk Radio, the show that highlights our guest's pursuit of excellence through the process of one-on-one coaching. I invite you to leave comments or questions on the Transformation Talk Radio website, or if you prefer, facebook.com/Transformation Talk Radio. We have a little live feed there too, where we can take comments. So today we are going to talk about servant leadership. Now, servant leadership is not something that is new. It has been around since about the 70s. It was coined by a gentleman, Robert K. Greenleaf. And the basic principles of servant leadership are fairly simple. It's about valuing people, listening, trusting, caring, encouraging diversity within a workspace. A good coin of phrase is Robert Greenleaf says, do those served grow as persons? In other words, am I helping you become a better, healthier, more involved individual? That's what a servant leadership really does. And it's not something that is relegated to just the upper echelons of an organization. It can be anyone can become a servant leadership. You can do that within your own families, how you can help others be better at what they do and who they are and help achieve their goals. So the challenge, though, that happens with a lot of individuals who adopt this type of thinking is that not everyone understands the concept of servant leadership, nor do they understand the implications of what that means and how that can be of use to others. So it can lead to being taken advantage of in some instances. And so that's where we're going to have our conversation today with our guest. She is the owner of a live virtual assistant in Redding, California. She has 12 employees in her company. Please welcome Ms. Mindy Stevens to the microphone.
Thank you. I appreciate the welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. So before we get too far afield, please talk about your business. What do you do and what do you do really well?
So I have a team of amazing people that are very kind on the phones. What we do is we are more than an answering service. And of course, we can answer phone calls and take messages. But what we really strive to do is to be your receptionist or your assistant by answering phone calls and doing whatever clerical type of work needs to be done. Things that you would train a receptionist to do, scheduling appointments, answering questions about your business, not just the stereotypical answering service of they're not here, let me take a message.
Which an answering machine could do.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about this notion, because when we talked before the show, you know, you had sort of brought this up about how you felt like, you know, in your conversations with your employees that, you know, being taken advantage of was a challenge for you. So talk a little bit about what your challenge is today.
It definitely, you walk a very fine line when you, so our mindset is always, my job as the owner is to support my supervisors, and my supervisor's job is to support the staff. It's not going to be the other way around, right? Where they're not there to serve me, I'm there to serve them. And the other benefit really of working for my business is that we do understand that people have real lives and real trauma and things that happen in their lives, and they need to go deal with those things. That being said, because we are much gentler and kinder, if you will, about attendance issues, sometimes that kindness gets mistaken for weakness, And that's where, or the friendship that we've developed, because they genuinely care and we all genuinely care about one another. It's the only way you can actually take the kind of inbound call constant work is by having a team that really cares about each other. But there's times when those lines blur between I'm your friend and I'm your boss, or my agents are friends with their supervisors. And so there's just that line blurring of, you know, establishing the boundaries and enforcing them without being so stringent that it's like mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. You know, it's mm-hmm. there's situations and circumstances that make sense, but then how, I don't know. I think that the fairness can be challenged in a servant leadership situation, for me anyway.
Okay. When you talk about the blurred lines and stuff like that, how does that sort of manifest itself?
So I consider, so all of my employees talk about how great it is to work for a live virtual assistant. And I have to believe they're telling me the truth, right? It's not because I'm the owner. And there seems to develop a friendship as we're talking, right? We're caring about each other's lives. We're hearing about each other's kids. We're developing that friendship. And sometimes that extends after hours. I try not to initiate that as the boss, but at the same time, I'm not going to be like, no, you can't call me after hours, right? I'm going to be there to support people and to offer my friendship, because relationship really is what motivates most of my people. They're very relationship driven. And so I think that's great. But there's times when it's tricky because, of course, you know, I don't want to like call anyone out specifically, but where there's times where an employee will take that friendship and take that assumption that, well, you know, they're not going to be mad at me if I take this time off, and use it in ways that are things that you wouldn't do at a larger business.
Things you wouldn't do in other organizations.
Right. You wouldn't get away with it. You'd have lost your job by now, kind of things. Right. So it's just really tricky as far as figuring out the, where those boundaries are, because that's where I struggle. It's like, how is this really an emergency, or is this just like you didn't feel like doing something earlier, and so you're going to use work time to do it?
Right. So it sounds like that the boundaries that are in place are there. There isn't any clear distinction sometimes, you know, that, you know, between Mindy the friend and Mindy the boss.
Right.
And so therefore, without having that distinction, people can then say, oh, well, it's Mindy. Yay, it's Mindy. She'll be fine with this. Yeah, she's good. She'll be fine with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we're gonna take a break here. And kind of regroup and give Jacob a chance to do some commercials. So you are listening to The Business Mind with Mark Fechner. Remember, you can leave your comments on our Facebook live feed section or on the TransformationTalkRadio.com website. We are going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how Mindy is defining the boundaries within her organization between who she is as a boss and who she is as a friend. So come on back. This is going to be an interesting conversation. See you on the other side.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Reinventing You with me, Danielle Silverman, on the second and fourth Monday each month at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In today's world of ever-constant evolution, the only career change that matters is when what you do matches who you are. On Reinventing You, you'll find concrete tools to help you embrace change and feel optimistic and inspired about your future. It's your vision, your life. Be passionate about it.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com. Net.
Welcome back to The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner, and today we are talking with Mindy Stevens from a live virtual assistant, and we're talking about the challenge of how to implement being a servant leader and what does that mean and stuff like that. So before we go any further, Mindy, can you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Probably the best way to look us up is on our website, alivevirtual.com. Our phone number is there. A lot of information about our business and how we can help you.
Okay, great. And we had mentioned beforehand that you were offering a giveaway for today.
Absolutely. So I am offering a free onboarding, which is a $500 value, to anyone that mentions your show, that they saw me on your show or that they mention your show here.
Well, let's hope you get lots and lots of people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Me too.
So let's go. Let's dive into this because I find this is interesting. I really do find this interesting. So the basic principle of servant leader, it's about how you help others become better, fuller, more engaged individuals. Yes, friendship is certainly a part of it, and you know, being personal and whatnot, that's certainly a part of everything, but that's not necessarily what defines servant leadership. So I'd like to start talking about this boundaries that you mentioned. So, mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what does that mean to you? What does it, take that back. What does it mean to have someone cross a boundary?
I suppose I need to work on developing my description of my boundaries.
Okay.
Because I think that that's really maybe where I'm not clear on what my mm-hmm. expectations are. To me, it's when I start feeling very personal, taken advantage of, like someone's taking, like, not just working the system, but going beyond that to. Especially with attendance, I think is one of my biggest issues mm-hmm. is I hire a lot of moms, right? I hire a lot of people with big lives, with perhaps some medical issues. And I understand that they're going to need some time off. And we staff so that we have people that will always be there to cover. But when we have people that will always be there to cover, and they all have these great big lives, there's times when we are struggling to have enough people to cover. And so that's where we have built a lot of procedures, but there's still, you know, that Monday morning where they're like, oh, I'm sick. And you're like, I mean, what can you say as an employer? No, you're not. Get on the phones. You know, you can't, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Many call centers, virtual assistant businesses, answering services are like, you know, you have this many absences in this period of time. And if you go beyond that, you get written up and then you get suspended. So, you know, you miss a day and your punishment is missing another day. And then, you know, there's, you know, terminations, with the suspensions, terminations. Those are kind of the routines that businesses that have gone before me that probably know a lot more than me have figured out they need to do. Right. And I would really like to find a way to inspire and motivate and get people to show up to work every day, not just because of fear, but because of them seeing the big picture and wanting to be a part of it. And perhaps I haven't defined, I guess, the boundaries of those expectations very well.
Okay. So what is, so when you talk about, okay, I've got a couple of thoughts running through my head here. The first one is establishing rules of employment. What is it about, you know, like you said, so, you know, there are other companies that say, well, you know, your X number of absences at a certain point, you will get, you know, you'll get noticed or written up or whatever the term is. You know, you go beyond that, then, you know, there's a suspension. You go beyond that, then there's termination. What about that process challenges you?
We invest so much in training, and it's not just the money that was invested in training, but the energy and the heart and the soul of who we are. We're spending training people to be amazing on every call, to treat each caller like it's their own business, to really give their all to every call. Mm-hmm. And so when you've developed someone to that point, you don't want them to get a write-up and go, forget it, I quit. You know, this is too hard. I don't want to get in trouble anymore, so I'm going to leave. Because most of my people are very relationship sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. I can say, I am just so disappointed in you. And they'll quit. I'm like, no, I just want you to fix it. You know, tell me how you're going to fix it. Don't run away. Mm-hmm. You know, we can fix this. So it's just that, and maybe that's my own fear that people will leave or that I will end up having to terminate someone, which is probably the right thing to do. Grow a backbone. Mm-hmm. But I value the relationships and the time we've invested into creating people that genuinely, I'm going to say care because I'm not sure what we're rated, but they genuinely care about their job and they care about one another. They care about the team and they care about the clients and their customers.
You said something very interesting in that little passage there. You talked about how you train people to think about the phones that they're answering as if it were their own business. In essence, trying to get people to be a leader or a servant leader of their of the clients.
Right.
You know, so it sounds like there's already something in place that talks about or that you're talking about of this whole servant leader, you know, notion that, you know, the people who are answering the call, they need to be thinking about or answer the call as if it's their own business.
Right.
You know, so how can you take that notion and apply it and apply it to yourself so that, you know, if someone comes to you and say, gee, you know, there's a series of issues we have. How can you have that conversation with that individual as opposed to going immediately to, hey, we got to terminate you.
Right.
What's, you know, how can you be a servant leader? I'm really bungling this question. I am so apologize. How can you be a servant leader to help that person be a better employee?
That's a really interesting question. Let me think a minute. I've seen some employees really step up when they become the lead on that account, and there's a lot of accountability where we're the rest of the team feels a little bit lost when they're not there, right? They're the one that's communicating directly with the client and managing the scheduling. And we're all in support of that role. We're answering calls, but we're asking that person, like, how would you do this? And what about this? And how about this situation? Right. And they become that person. I've seen people step up and really into that role and their attendance improve and their buy-in, if you will, improve. But I've also seen people shy away from that. And when they shy away from that, I'm like, okay, they're not ready. Okay. So then I move on to, okay, somebody else is ready. And then perhaps I need to invest some more time in those ones that are like, oh, that's too much. That's too much responsibility of bringing them up and giving them the tools that they need to have that buy-in.
Okay. How does that feel to you?
It feels like a really good direction to head.
Okay.
Because if I'm not going to get buy-in, I'm not going to be able to depend on that person.
Right.
And that's kind of those two things, buy-in and dependability, are really important.
Right.
In order for me to grow the person. I mean, they can still answer the phones and be nice people, but to be able to grow them, I have to be able to depend on them.
Right. Well, and growing the person, you mentioned, you know, is, you know, okay, holding them accountable, giving them more responsibility. What does that do to the fear factor in what we just discussed? Because you mentioned, you know, you're afraid that, you know, people are going to leave, and you've invested time and money and energy in training them. Mm-hmm. So what does that do to the fear factor, thinking about this, you know, the people that have stepped up? What does that do to that fear factor in you?
Oh, well, when you get someone that steps up and you see them grow, it's like teaching someone something new, right? That light bulb moment that I just balanced the accounts the first time, excitement, right? It's like, yes. And then I feel even more dependent upon them because I'm giving them this responsibility. So I feel like, oh, my team is really dependent on them, which then again, I can take that responsibility away. I can say, oh, you know what? I can't count on you to be here. So I'm going to have to, you know, make sure that we have coverage and, you know, move things around. So the fear, going back to the question, what does that do to the fear? I guess it's fear of losing that time, that investment, that trust. Mm-hmm. If that person were to not raise, right, you know, because we always have someone to back everyone up, right? So it's not like my business is not designed to depend on any one person. It can't.
Right.
But as you have people step up in different leadership roles and you see them develop, that's great. But there's still that fear of, I don't know, I guess I have a fear of loss I need to really look at.
Okay. Well, that might be the case. So one of the things that kind of comes to my mind as we're sitting here talking is it's really about or thinking about, so let's say you have that employee that is wishy-washy, for lack of a better phrase right now.
Okay.
How can you handle that person differently? Thinking about servant leaders, about helping someone grow, helping someone become better. How could you handle that individual differently or have a different conversation with them?
I don't mean to sit here in silence, because I'm just not quite sure that I would consider any of my, I understand what you mean by wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. And it seems like with each of my employees, not all of them, but with each of them, when I do have an issue, it's, you're great when you're here. When you are here, you are on fire. You do a good mm-hmm. job. You give it your all, but I need you to be here. And I understand that sometimes life happens, but your life is happening way too often during your shift, right? Okay. When you're scheduled to work from 5 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., during that time, work needs to be the priority. And yeah, I get that emergencies happen, but not everything that you're calling out for in the middle of your shift is an emergency. Right. And kind of redefining that as work is the most urgent thing right now.
Okay. Then, so that sets up the priority that if you're here, you're here and you're not elsewhere.
Right.
So to take advantage of the fact that you do have relationships with these people, might I make a suggestion?
Please.
What if you were to pull this person aside and say, listen, what's going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
How is it? How can I help you be more present?
Okay.
When you are here, you're on fire. I love that you're here. I love what you do when you're here. And these are things that are starting to get in the way of that. So, as a servant leader, the idea is obviously, how can you help this person be better, be more involved? And that, and you have the advantage that you have a relationship with these people, that they see you sometimes as a friend and not just the boss.
Right. Right.
So how can you, as the boss, say to that person, what's going on? How would that work for you?
Oh, absolutely. The what's going on conversation. My question back to you is, how do you take the what's going on question from, let me tell you the litany of all the excuses and all of the reasons and all of the things that have happened in my life that have led me up to this moment, which include, everything from the way I was raised as a child, the way my parents are. I mean, I could be a full-on counselor. I've spent way too much time doing that. Right. Not that I have any credentials, but I mean, I definitely have spent lots of time listening and then trying to pull into advice. But what ends up being and my life is so terrible, of situation where I'm like, yes, obviously people need to vent. They need to be able to get stuff off their chest of what's going on in their world and what's upsetting them. But the more I know, the more that empathy in me comes out, and the more I'm like, oh, you poor thing, we'll do what you got to do. And it's like, that's my problem.
Okay. So that now brings up a different question.
Okay.
Because you're the boss.
Oh yeah.
by the way, you're the boss.
By the way.
And being the boss, you have a different set of priorities. You know, the person who is, you know, handling the account or answering the phone, it's above their pay grade to worry about the organization.
Okay.
Okay. The organization is your responsibility. This is your baby.
Right.
This is what you're running. So what is the, you know, what's the chance that you need to change kind of how you think about yourself in this role?
Well, that's why we're talking.
So what do you see yourself as being the first thing that you could maybe change in your role as the boss?
Well, I think there is really something there about that one-to-one conversation that I can talk about, like, these are the things that I expect from you. What are the things that you expect from me?
Okay.
And come to an agreement on what that looks like.
Okay.
And then, if you will, hold one another accountable. Like, I am going to always treat you with respect. I'm right. going to always, you know, I'm never going to yell at you. Even when you completely mess something up, we'll still figure it out. I will always have your back and we will fix it, right? Mm-hmm. We will always let the client know, this is what happened. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. But those are the things that I like promise to my employees. Like, if you make a mistake, you're going to make a mistake, right? We are all going to make mistakes.
And I don't want me to cut you off. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly, and that's legitimate and certainly, you know, being there for your employees. What we're talking about, though, is your boundaries and setting, you know, being the boss means you have responsibilities that your employees do not.
Right.
You have the responsibility and the obligation of running your entity, your ship, so to speak, in a forward-thinking motion.
Right.
What that also implies is that you have to maintain and hire on people and train people and whatnot that can help you work in the business. Your job is to work on the business.
Right.
Your employees are there to help you work in the business.
Right.
And so thinking about that, what of your own expectations of yourself as a leader would need to sort of change in this process?
Maybe growing one of my supervisors into, like, defining what these boundaries are, and then growing them into being the one that holds people accountable to these things.
Okay.
And has these conversations about, I don't want to call them inspirational conversations, but conversations about, this is what we expect.
Okay.
We expect you to work the hours and days you say you're going to work. It's not, you know, it's a job. You know?
Right.
So, you know, we do expect that. And to, you know, put forth 100%, to, you know, define what these boundaries are, what the rules of the game are, if you will. And then grow someone into being able to hold people accountable to that. Instead of it being me having 12 conversations one-to-one and then having to come back and make sure, okay, have you met these expectations? But still being still being that encouraging person. Is that kind of a direction that...
You tell me, does that sound... What does that feel like to you?
I tend to want to do everything myself. And I realize that I don't have enough time to do everything myself.
Every business owner has the exact same thing. I'm the only one that can do this.
Right. You know. Especially when I don't exactly know how to do it. It's really hard to teach someone else how to do it.
Right. So
I need to learn how to do it and then teach someone how to do it.
So what that says is that you know, understanding and creating a process that someone else could possibly take on.
Okay.
How does that feel?
So as I've heard of, you know, there's delegation and then there's delegation by abdication. And I don't want to move into the, here, it's your problem now. You fix it. Because that's an easy place to go, right?
That is very easy place to go. And I would never assume that you would be doing the latter.
No.
You know,
It's fun to sell. It's fun to network. It's fun to, you know, meet with people and find out what their problems are and come up with procedures. And I love that part of the business.
Right.
My people should just be the amazing people that they are.
Well, and they still are those amazing people.
Right.
But you've got 12 employees. You might be getting to the point where giving someone else within your organization certain duties, responsibilities, whatnot, is going to be beneficial.
Definitely.
You know, we all want to be the guy that everyone comes to. That's why we have businesses. You know, this is just the nature of things. We want to be the guy that everyone calls upon.
Right.
And unfortunately, if we're successful at what we're doing, we will outgrow that role.
Right.
Because, you know, there's only so many hours in a day that we can possibly, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start, you know, training others to do certain responsibilities. So in that process, what would be your first task in trying to hand off some of these responsibilities to others?
Defining the rules of the game. I really like that.
Okay.
This is how we play. This is, you know, these are values, and not just one word values, but true, like, this is what we stand for. Do you agree with these values? Yes. Can you keep these promises? Yes, I can keep these, this agreement. Mm-hmm. And then holding an accountability, because sometimes it's just, oh, no one will notice, no one will care, it's okay, they don't care, right? And just even knowing that there's someone that's going to be holding them accountable to, listen, we said this, is you agreed to this amount of time. You agreed to work these hours. You agreed for your break to be a 10-minute break, not a 12 or 14 or 18-minute break, right? Mm-hmm. You agreed to, you know, this long of a lunch. You know, we set the rules of this game up so that you could win.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not winning right now. And I want to help you win, because right now you're not winning at this game. You know,
okay.
I guess gamifying a little bit so that people can feel like, these are the things I need to do to win, to be able to be successful at my job. Because people want to be successful, right? Most people.
we're talking about your people. We're not about most people.
Right. My people want to be successful.
There you go.
And they're very much relationship driven. They want to know when they're doing a good job.
Well, and it sounds like that if you are training your people to, you know, treat the person, you know, treat the client's phone that they're answering as if they're part of that company.
Absolutely.
That already sounds much more servant leader type. Because their job is then to help that client be better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, whether we're calling in or calling out, you know, filling out, we'll have people send us a list of names and numbers and or names and addresses, and we'll create letters or, you know, any type of clerical work that you can give to someone else to do, we can be a part of that. And yeah, I think creating those rules of the game are really going to be.
So start working, you know, working on some processes.
Okay.
That you just do because it's your company and you already know.
Right.
But processes that could be handed off to somebody else.
Right.
Who would you want to identify as the person that you're going to groom to be this, you know, overseer of everyone? And you don't have to name names. I'm not.
Okay. I'm like, they're going to watch this and they're going to say, you said that means you don't love me. I have four supervisors.
Okay.
I have four supervisors, and of those four, they all have different strengths and weaknesses, don't we all? Strengths and areas to need strengthening. Right. But I do have one or two people in mind that I think could take on these processes that have a strong enough personality where they can call people out when they're not playing by the rules.
So one of the things that, you know, to start thinking about as well is, what are the qualities that you would need these people to have?
Okay.
So that, you know, obviously there's training involved here.
Of course.
You know, you're going to help train someone to do this type of work.
Mm-hmm.
Or a higher level of, you know, supervisory work.
Right.
So what are the qualities you're looking for? Identifying those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't have them, how, you know, is it possible to train those people? You know, mm-hmm. what's the possibility they can be trained to adopt certain qualifications?
Right. I like that. I mean, the first three words that came to my mind were fair, organized, and firm.
Okay.
You know, they have to be perceived as fair, they have to be firm, and they have to be organized so that it doesn't feel like they're playing favorites.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's a start, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a perfect place to take a break. One more time, Mindy, how can people get a hold of you before we go on break?
On the internet, alivevirtual.com. There's a contact us form. There's our phone number. We'd love to talk with anybody about what they've got going on and see if we can help them. And we're doing a free onboarding for people, for viewers, listeners to your
listeners.
Show. Listeners to your show.
I don't know who's viewing right now, but they're.
All right. Listeners.
I've had listeners.
YouTube.
This is The Business Mind. I am Mark Fechner. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Mindy is going to sort of surmise what it is that she's going to take away from today's session. And hopefully something useful for herself and her business. If you have any insights or comments around today's discussion, please feel free to leave those comments on the Transformation Talk Radio website or facebook.com/ Transformation Talk Radio live feed. So we will be back in just a few minutes.
Oh, Are you looking for a way to break old habits that are holding you back from reaching your true potential and living the life you deserve? Well, look no further than Dr. Loretta Billups. She is a clinician and a relationship and mental health coach that will assist you with reaching your purpose. She will hold you accountable so that your desires are now a reality. Connect with Dr. B at cultivatingyourlife.com and find your path today. That's cultivatingyourlife.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Krista Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic. Trust the unseen. Experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Unlock the power of your dreams and break free of the past. On the Dream Diva podcast, we're dying to dream. Hi, I'm Kelly Keough, Dream Medium. Join my masterclass in shamanic journeying and intuitive dream interpretation to receive messages from your soul symbols, ancestors, guides, and spirit animals. Together, we'll explore precognitive dreams to help you live your best life. The Dream Diva podcast airs every Wednesday at noon Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. So, Mindy, what are you taking away from today's session?
I really like that concept of defining the rules of the game and then developing processes and then finding and, if you will, servant leadershipping someone into those, into training how to follow those processes. So to be fair and consistent and organized and firm, so they don't have the appearance of playing favorites, and give them the responsibility and authority to match that. But yeah, the rules of the game and being able to do that check-in and say, hey, we all thrive on positive feedback. Every one of my people, we just are people pleasers. And so being able to set that up so that it is a less of a reward and consequences and more of holding someone accountable to what they said. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And it's my responsibility to work. My responsibility is to worry about the organization or to work on my business and not so much in my business.
Right.
And then defining the boundaries so that it's less about what I'm feeling and more about the rules of the game.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
So
that's quite a bit.
I took notes.
You took notes. Well, I'm very happy about that. One more time. How can people get a hold of you?
AliveVirtual.com. We serve all areas of the United States from Maine to California and all the states in between. So
cool.
Maine to Florida to California to Washington. We'll even work with Alaska and
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
We start at 5 a.m. Pacific, which is 8 a.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And we're working to grow to 24/7, 365. I just need clients that need it so that we can
there you go.
Staff
okay.
it.
Very cool. I would encourage anyone to please reach out to Mindy and talk about your virtual assistant needs. She has a very different model than what most people have as far as virtual assistants. So if you would like to contact me, I can be reached at markfechner.com. Email mark@markfechner.com. And if you would like to be a guest on my show, you can sign up for a 30-minute conversation on my website, markfechner.com. Or if you'd like to work with me on a challenge that you are personally facing within your business or organization, you can do the same thing. markfechner.com, sign up for a 30-minute conversation, or send me an email. I want to thank Mindy for being here, for her openness and willingness to talk about this particular challenge in her business. And I think there's something that got, we all learned something here, which was really useful. So my next guest, right now I have scheduled independent wine consultant Susie Whipple of Tasteful Adventures. She will be my guest on the next episode, and we will be, I'm not sure what the challenge is yet, so we got to still determine that. But I'm looking forward to that conversation. The Business Mind airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. Central, which is 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern. So please sign up. Happy to have you there. I am also informed that we have now, I am on various different podcast platforms, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn. You can find me there. If you go onto those platforms and say The Business Mind, Mark Fechner, you will find me, which is very exciting. That was very kind of cool. I just learned that this week. So anyway, we will be back again in 2 weeks. Until then, have a great week. Be safe, be healthy, be profitable. See you then. Thank you for listening to The Business Mind on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mark Fechner, where we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I hope you find the answers within you. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Sometimes all you need is a change in perception. A certified coach will listen to your challenge, ask you intuitive, open-ended questions, help you find fresh perspectives, and then hold you accountable to reach your goals. Coaching is an investment in yourself that can create paths to greater success. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.